Welcome to the Rosetta Health Podcast Series. The Commonwealth Health Alliance is a not-for-profit trade association of health IT companies working together to create universal access to health data nationwide. And today we're catching up with Jitin Asnani, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Health Alliance. As you may recall, last year we spoke with Jitin about the future of Commonwealth and health data exchange in general. And today we're going to dive a bit deeper into some of the new services and programs coming out of the organization and much more. And Jitin, how are you? And welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us once again. And I know last time we spoke at length about the future of Commonwealth and health data exchange in general. And I've noticed you've had a few significant announcements since then in the past year or so. And if you don't mind, just share some of these updates with our audience.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had some big developments over the last year, more coming up. It's a really exciting time to be in health IT, quite frankly, and Commonwealth feels like it's at the center of it. So it's been a lot of fun. If I look at the big announcements, one of the most significant announcements we've had over the last 9 months or so, 6 or 9 months or so, is our Commonwealth Connectors program. And the Commonwealth Connectors program enables us to now evolve from being a network of connected EHRs to really a network of networks. And the way that works is that today, if you are a provider organization, a clinician, a nurse, whoever have you, you're utilizing an EHR in front of you typically, or some other type of health IT platform, right? Something you use to enable you to capture the information and data you need to be able to take care of your patients. Those EHR vendors come across a wide variety of sizes. Huge vendors who are national, have a great footprint all across the country. Smaller vendors who have niche products or specific regions where they focus, and of course, everything in between. And what we realized was that as we've made tremendous progress with some of the larger national vendors, who do account for a large segment of the industry, our focus needed to start turning towards the smaller vendors who have a slightly different set of needs. And one of their issues is that they just don't have the know-how in-house or the resources in-house to be able to do things like connecting to networks like Commonwealth. So our Commonwealth Connector program, acknowledged this and basically said, we're going to make it easier for those, clinicians and other provider organizations who don't have access to one of these, major EHRs who's connected to the network, or else has an EHR that doesn't have that sort of, built-in know-how in terms of this interoperability work, which is fairly complex. And we're going to work with those other types of companies, typically technology intermediary companies, data platform companies, interop as a service companies. They go under a wide variety of names, HIEs, HIE vendors. We're going to work with all of those folks and enable them to connect to Commonwealth and in turn offer that up to their customers, whether it's the provider organizations directly or to other EHRs and HIT platforms who utilize their services in order to interoperate. So that's what it is. That's a huge deal because it allows Commonwealth to go from serving, the majority of the top 20 largest EHRs to now actually serving the long tail of 100 plus smaller EHRs and other HIT platforms, that end users utilize. And our goal from the beginning has been that the patient data should follow the patient regardless of where they've had care. And this is an important strategic milestone for us to get to that vision.
That's great.
So
congratulations.
That's probably the biggest program we've had, looking backwards. And then we have a couple of big ones coming up in the future, which I'll share as well. One other update that strikes me as being particularly meaningful over the last several months is, as we announced 2 years ago, we were, starting a partnership with the Sequoia Project and Care Equality. And, that has come to fruition. We have connected to Care Equality since then. We connected, late last fall. We have seen exponential increase in the connectivity between Commonwealth and the Care Equality community. And as a result of that, now between the two organizations, we have the majority of the top 20 EHRs connected up together and more and more deployments to come. But it's already shown us, again, tremendous volumes, tremendous amount of exchange, and really enabled us to say that, we're going to cover all of acute care and the vast majority of ambulatory care. And, as a result, Matt, our numbers are also just flying through the roof. We are, you know, growing at exponential rates across the board. You know, today, just to serve as a checkpoint, we are live with more than 14,000 clinics and hospitals across the U.S. We have exchanged data for, you know, almost 100 million documents have been exchanged, just a little bit south of that so far. You know, so we're going to be crossing that mark sometime, you know, probably within the next couple of months. And all this for, you know, more than 60 million unique patients. And that means that, you know, as the next, you know, year comes along, we are going to cover, you know, essentially the entire U.S. healthcare population. So it's beautiful that, you know, that both that collaboration with Care Equality has really panned out just the way we all hoped it would. And the fact that Commonwell organically also just continues to grow at a rapid pace. So it's been a great set of milestones over the last few months.
Yeah, that's perfect, Jitin. Would love to hear about what's on the horizon for Commonwell.
Absolutely. You know, there are probably a couple of things that are worthwhile mentioning. You know, one thing is that because of some work we've done recently, you know, we shared that we went through an RFP process and our own sort of technology procurement is going to be available now to us and to our members at a much more reasonable cost, better terms, and the like. So that's an underpinning which, you know, for most organizations, they won't see the, you know, they won't see kind of the work that went into it, but they'll certainly feel the repercussions as Commonwell becomes much more affordable. Again, in line with this whole notion that if we want to get to the long tail, we have to make this easier to connect to and more affordable. So that's an important piece of work, which, again, is a little less in your face, but it's going to be huge in terms of supporting the, you know, network growth. If I had to think about what are some of the big announcements that are going to come up, or the things, or rather the big projects which we're working on right now, which we announced, there are probably two. One is this notion of event notifications. You know, Commonwell historically has been a network to which you connect, and when you are taking care of a patient as a clinician or, you know, a caregiver, you ask for that data from the network. One of the challenges, sometimes the point of time in which you need to ask for that data is not when you're seeing the patient or when the patient's scheduled, but you oftentimes need the data and can interact with the patient when they have an episode or an event somewhere else. So I'm a caregiver, for example, an elderly patient with chronic conditions, and that patient just got admitted into an emergency department. That might be an important time for me as a caregiver, let's say somebody working at their skilled nursing facility or, you know, home health, or just a guardian taking care of that elderly person. It might be important to me to know that that event has happened. I might be able to go and provide information that will ensure that, you know, as that individual has their care at the emergency department, that, you know, their caregivers have the right information. That's called a notification, an event notification, when I'm informed that something has happened with my patient somewhere along the care continuum. That is what we're introducing later this calendar year, you know, probably in the October-November timeframe, we'll start our initial pilots, where if you are participating on the network, you can be notified when a patient associated with you, with whom you have a treatment relationship, has an event anywhere else across the network. So that's going to be exciting, and we're expecting to, you know, really be building on that and extending that functionality for the years to come. We think this is a problem that's ripe to be solved nationally. It has been mentioned by the federal government in several capacities, you know, the CMS, Office of National Coordinator. It's come up several times, and we are really in a great position as Commonwealth, as an industry alliance, you know, to really just solve this problem once and for all for the entire community. So that's what we're aiming towards. I think that's the biggest one, honestly, from an organic perspective, what we're working on. There's obviously a large secular piece of work that's happening out there of which we're going to be an integral part, and that's around the information blocking rule and the trusted exchange framework and common agreement, what's better known as TEFCA, and that set of regulation that is coming out due to the 21st Century Cures Act. And we expect to play an enormously important role in enabling those regulations to become a reality. You know, but that's it's sort of inorganic. We know that it's happening. We know that we're in a position to help the industry succeed. So we will participate there fully, enabling to happen. And I'm expecting that over the coming year, a lot of the work that we do is going to be geared towards enabling that reality to occur.
That's great. That's really awesome stuff there. And if you don't mind, Jitin, let's shift real quick. If you can share some recent successes you've heard from members as they continue to deploy Commonwealth services to more provider organizations, would love to hear successes in that vein.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the most interesting stories for me came about a month and a half ago. One of our members deployed Commonwealth Services for the first time into the home health arena. I've always felt that the beauty of Commonwealth should be not only that it serves the acute care, you know, hospitals and health systems and the ambulatory clinics, but there's this vast space of healthcare called the post-acute industry, which includes a number of different settings, skilled nursing facilities, home health facilities, rehabilitation facilities, and the like. And Commonwealth should be ubiquitous in those areas as well, so the patient's, you know, care journey really is accessible to those who are taking care of him or her. And so this member, you know, introduced Commonwealth into the home health setting. It was the very first time we were introduced in the home health setting. And, you know, we kind of all looked to see what would happen on, you know, that day one that they went live. And you know what happened? The home health case manager, I'm not sure what they refer to them. I think of them as case managers, but they're typically social workers, right, who go to take care of the patients in their household or at least to go do well checks on them or in their household, typically, you know, chronic or elderly patients. And this social worker turned on the software as usual and saw some updates for patients' records. And you know that on the first go, found about a little under a dozen records for this patient. This person was so used to walking to the patient's home, no information in hand, not clear what she should see, what medications might be there, what hazards she should look out for, what is the situation of the patient, until she kind of sits down with them and kind of examines them. And here she was for the first time with the records for the patient from all the hospitals and clinics in the area that patient had been to. And it was just amazing. It was the cell phone moment. Like, how did I live without this? How did I take care of patients before I had this data? So, you know, when I think about the successes recently, we've certainly had some great hospitals and clinics turn on Commonwealth. We hear stories every month or two from emergency departments, particularly where, you know, the protocol would have required, you know, injection of or administration of some medication. And it turns out that the record access through Commonwealth showed that the patient would have had an allergic reaction. You know, we hear those stories time and again, and so we're so excited about that. But to see that now we're getting introduced into new care settings and the difference it makes beyond physicians and nurses and so on, and now into the realm of social workers and other caregivers, I mean, it's the stuff we live for here.
That's great. What a great example there, and great examples overall. Congratulations. That's incredible. And also, too, we heard news of your departure from Commonwealth towards the end of this year. And for our last question for you, what will you remember most about your time with the Alliance, and what advice do you have for the next executive director?
You know, I have gone back and forth on the value of Commonwealth Health Alliance. In all scenarios, it's super valuable. But I ask myself, if the world was such that everything we had built was obviated by advances in technology, right? Which is kind of what we all hope for, right? You hope that you don't get stuck with, you know, today's breakthrough innovations are going to be tomorrow's, you know, telegrams, right? That hopefully the arrow of time makes everything we've done today in retrospect look so ancient because we've come up with much better things in the future. And so I ask myself, you know, if the pace of technology innovation, granted we're trying to do a lot of that innovating and disrupting ourselves, but if you really did not even need the technology Commonwealth had built, then what have we got here? And this is, you know, here's the answer to the question, to the question you asked me. What I realize is that before we came together and created Commonwealth back in 2013, there was no place where engineers, technical architects, product managers, you know, people who build stuff, people who build health IT, there was no place for them to go to collaborate, to work together, to make interoperability really work down on the ground where it matters. And the fact that we created this forum, this place where people come to, we gave them specific objectives, things which we're working on together as a common vision, and we kind of imbued upon the entire community this culture of collaborating so that we can collectively solve interoperability problems. That's the stuff, honestly, I am most proud of. And yes, because of it, because we created that culture, because we set that vision, because we got people together And we created this sort of, you know, semi-magical place where competitors, you know, take off their badges and sit hand in hand and sort of kind of working through important problems together that have affected care nationally. You know, the fact that we created this environment, and yes, we built all this great stuff, you know, great technology and so on, that's making a difference for sure. But it's that environment, that thing we created, which is the actual secret sauce of Commonwealth. And so when I think about the new executive director coming in, you know, whoever he or she may be, that's the thing I want them to keep their, you know, eye on. Like, yeah, you're going to build a lot of great stuff. You're going to see a lot of success at Commonwealth. It's on a great pathway, and there are really important and interesting and tricky problems to solve along the way. But don't forget that this is the environment, this is the thing that we created that helps solve those problems, no matter what those future problems will be, and not to miss it. So, you know, I know it's a little bit of a long-winded answer, and it's a little bit of a philosophical answer, but when it comes down to it, I think about, you know, what is the root of our success? You know, that's the root of our success. The organization we created, the vision and culture we created here to make us successful, regardless of the fact that we have very few of our own employees, and most of the work really happens, you know, through individuals and companies who otherwise compete like heck with each other outside of Commonwealth.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we really, really, really appreciate your time today. And, you know, Jitin, we wish you obviously the best of luck in the future. I know these two podcasts have been really awesome for us. So before we do our usual wrapper at the end, are any last parting words here?
You know, I think the only thing that strikes me is that there is such a great future for health data interoperability in the U.S. You know, between what Commonwealth, you know, started and has been continuing to run with, between the, like, you know, regulation that's come out that aligns well with what we're doing, between other organizations who cropped up for various reasons, primarily after us, but even some before us, everybody from the great organizations like Sequoia Project, Direct Trust, Center for Medical Interoperability, all of these great organizations with whom we have various levels of partnerships. What occurs to me is that the future is bright, and we've not even really started seeing, you know, the future Amazon.coms and Googles of the health IT world. You know, those are yet to come. But the stuff that we've done so far to enable this day-to-day care, to enable patient coordination, to, you know, to enable what we have enabled, you know, is just going to transform the way the world looks, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and beyond. So I'm really excited to have been a part of it.
That's perfect. What a great way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Rosetta Health podcast interview with Jitin Asnani, the executive director of the Commonwealth Health Alliance. And as you heard, Jitin are kind enough to share his insights on kind of the future focus, what's on the horizon for Commonwealth, successes, some new services, and also his parting words as he leaves the organization at the end of the year. And Jitin, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.